I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him any more, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now, there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. This is a really important day. For me, especially, as many of you know, Laura and I are both counselors and been counseling for 30 years. And it is so often that people with mental illness are portrayed just like Legion. And that's the funny thing. Often of us think of mental illness like Legion running down a hill, screaming and hollering and acting crazy. And that is not at all what mental illness is. It's only a small part of what it can be. But there are mental illnesses that I think most of us in this sanctuary today are aware of. But we don't call it mental illness because of the stigma attached to that term. But I want to share with you some of the mental illnesses. And they're things that are dealt with in therapy, many of them on an ongoing basis. In the nursing home, when I had a counseling company, my people would go in and they would work with new residents on adjustment disorder. That's a mental illness. But it's adjusting to a new situation, a new environment. How many of us have moved somewhere new and we had to adjust to what is around us? It doesn't mean we're crazy. It just means that we have to go through an adjustment period, and some people adjust more easily than others. A lot of us may know about agoraphobia. That's a fear of just being out in the world. And there are people who basically live a reclusive life because they're afraid to go out and be among people. Pandemic has created a lot of that. But there are people who live with that on a daily basis. Anxiety disorder. A lot of people have anxiety. That's a mental illness. Bipolar disorder used to be under a different term. Does anyone remember what bipolar used to be called? It's a manic depressive. Manic depressive is now bipolar. Then you got borderline personality disorder, depression. Who hadn't had some depression at some point? I can tell you that after the winter storm, when Laura called and the house was flooded and she and Seth had to move and get into a hotel because they couldn't stay in the house, many Sundays I sat here after that. Normally I talked to the elders around me, and I wasn't talking to anybody because my mind was stuck on what's happening in Waco, what's going on with Laura and Seth, what's going on with the house. That's a problem, but it's not something that you can't overcome. But depression is a mental illness. Explosive anger disorder. You ever met somebody that you say something to them and they blow up just like that, get in your face? May not be anything major, but they get really upset. Then there's ADD. We've heard of that, attention deficit disorder. Then ADHD, when they have attention deficit hyper disorder and they're bouncing off the walls. Autism. This includes Asperger's, which is what Seth has and lives with. Did you know that Albert Einstein had Asperger's? It's a mental illness, but it's not something that can't be treated and helped. And it doesn't mean that you're crazy like Legion. Then there's OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. You see people that they don't just ring the doorbell once, they got to just keep ringing it. I had one in my office once, and it was OCD, and they were arranging everything on my desk the whole time. And they're making it straight. Then panic attacks. Maybe you've had a panic attack, but some people have them all the time. Everything creates a panic. Schizophrenia. And then there's this thing a lot of people don't know about. I found as I go through talking to folks, and they come in and they have seasonal affective disorder, also known as SAD. And it's certain seasons cause them to be depressed. Somebody who just loves summer, winter comes along and they become depressed. It's only for the winter, but they still have it. These are just a few of the mental illnesses in our society, and yet we look at it as something like Legion, and they have to be crazy. So many people want to think that it's a deal where you're Jeffrey Dahmer or John Wayne Gacy. That is just not the case, and it really is sad that so many people are buying explanation of what it is. So, all too often, and I've seen this too, somebody has a mental health problem, and somebody will say, just straighten up, get used to it, get over it. It's not going to happen. Some of these there's medication for, some there is no medication for. Whatever the case, compassion and understanding should be where we are. I want you to think about this scripture that Jim read. Okay, here's Legion. Legion has a mental health issue. It goes without saying. But the people of that time didn't understand that. So what do? They bind him up in chains. They bind him up in chains. Did you know that we used to do that here in this country? Rather than help people, we bind them up. We'd put them in a pit. Put them in a dark room, and we say, dark rooms help. So they bind him. They put him out there and say, don't be bugging us. You have issues. What did Jesus do? Jesus walks up, Legion runs up to him, and he looks at him and he says, I'm going to help you. Now, our scripture writer, of course, the gospel writer, puts it in terms of what? An evil spirit, because they didn't understand mental illness. And that's the way they explained mental illness, is evil spirits. But Jesus knew, I'm going to heal you. Compassion and understanding, and he heals Legion. And so at the end of the story, here's Legion dressed and in his right mind. That should give you a clue. In his right mind. And everyone is amazed. Why weren't they amazed before? Why didn't they help before? Why weren't they there for Legion? But they weren't. And that's the sadness that we face. We can read about the Old Testament as well. For example, in 1 Kings 19, 1 through 9, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, Elijah. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came, sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. Elijah asked that he might die. One of the great prophets in the Old Testament. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night. So Elijah hears these horrible things, right? Jezebel says this to Elijah, sends this message, and he becomes depressed. And he wants to die. In our world today, and with the pandemic, so many people have become depressed and they're wanting to die. Depression does that to you. One of the things we see the Lord do says, eat, you'll feel better, eat. A lot of times when people become depressed, they don't want to eat. They just give up eating. Other people, they get depressed and that's all they do is eat because that's their comfort food. Whatever the case, you have a mental illness on your hands. Depression. Even Elijah became depressed. Do you think Peter became depressed after he denied the Lord three times? Oftentimes, depressed people become suicidal. Jesus speaks to us through the gospel, telling us to be people of compassion because he had compassion on Legion. That's the message. Be understanding. Be compassionate. Don't chain these people and set them aside and say, they're crazy. Jesus says if we want to be one of his followers, rather than judge, be compassionate. While all others ran from Legion, feared Legion, chained Legion, Jesus met Legion with the very love that he's asked us to have for others. And I'll tell you a story, a true story about a man named Jack. Not our Jacks, we have a few. But this guy was president of a large corporation in Houston. And he got cancer. And the company heartlessly got rid of him, let him go. Once they heard he had cancer, they didn't want him. Now, as you can imagine, in Houston, president of a company, he was making quite a bit of money. But as he went through the cancer and he couldn't get another job, he spent all of his money. Spent everything he had. Went through his life savings, had practically nothing left. But then a minister visited him. And this minister was, well, we'll just say one of our more conservative types. But he said, "Jack, you speak so openly about the brief life you have left. I wonder if you've prepared for life after death." Jack stood up. He was livid with rage. And he said, "You blankety blank Christians. All you ever think about is what's going to happen to me after I die. If your God is so great, why doesn't he do something about the real problems of life?" He went on to tell the pastor he was leaving his wife and his daughter without money for college. Then he ordered the minister out of his house. Later, the minister started thinking about what he said and what he did, and he decided he needed to go back, so he did. And he said, "Jack, I know I offended you. I humbly apologize, but I want you to know I've been working on your situation. Your first problem is where your family will live after you die. A realtor in our church has agreed to sell your house and give your wife his commission. I guarantee you, if you'll permit us, some of the other people and I will make the house payments until it's sold. Then I've contacted the owner of an apartment house down the street. He's offered your wife a 3-bedroom apartment plus free utilities and an $850 a month salary in return for her collecting rents and supervising plumbing and electrical repairs. The income from your house should pay for your daughter's college. I just want you to know that your family will be cared for." At that point, Jack broke down and cried. He died shortly thereafter, racked in pain, but he experienced God's love before dying, and his widow was touched by the caring Christians and responded by becoming a member of that church. You see, people don't want to hear words from us as Christians. "Well, Jesus says everything's going to be okay." But we don't offer anything. Jesus says, "Do it. You do it. You take care. You pull the strings to make things happen." It is difficult to beat compassion in action. Our brothers and sisters with mental illness of whatever kind need us to have compassion and action. When you get to cancer, and some of you have had cancer, and you know, you become depressed at the very announcement of cancer. You become depressed. That's a reality. We know that Jack was depressed. It's bad enough that you have cancer. It's even worse when no one steps up to the plate to help in some way. Rather than saying, "Oh my gosh, they're weird," or "they're crazy," we need to be saying they're worthy of our love and compassion. That's the message Jesus gave to the people in Gerasim. You need to be more loving and compassionate. Remember this story? When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you?" And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Epilepsy is a mental illness. It's one I'm very familiar with. My sister was born with epilepsy. She's not crazy. In fact, she's very intelligent. We have people in this congregation who have epilepsy. And if you think it's a demon, you need to change what you're thinking, because that is not it. It's treatable. People are helped. Just as Jesus tells us we should help. I know it's a scary thing, and I can tell you from childhood, my sister's older, that it scared me so bad I'd run out of the room if she had a seizure. It's the unknown. But when you learn about it and you learn what to do and how to work with it, it doesn't come, it's no longer that scary because you do know what to do. I watched my sister go from job to job. Because if she had a seizure, she could have been with the company 10 years, but if she had a seizure, they fired her. They didn't call it fired. They said, we need to lay you off. It got to the point where the family had an attorney on retainer just to battle for her. It could be one in 10 years, but it scares them, and they got rid of her. You should have seen her evaluations. All of them were high marks. How do you explain that? Letting them go. Mental illness takes many forms, and as I said, the term mental illness unfortunately caused people to cringe, and they think in terms of crazy, and it's not. People who suffer with depression and anxiety and all these other things you heard me list so often will not seek help because they're afraid of the stigma of being called crazy. Or you're mentally ill, and it's said like that. Why? Our Lord walked right up to Legion. Everyone else chained him and ran from him. Walked right up to him and said, I can fix you. And he did. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do it? Because you didn't believe that you could do it. Some things never change. The people of the Gerasenes labeled Legion. Jesus did not. The people of the Gerasenes did not try to help Legion, but restrained him, giving him no hope. Jesus got rid of Legion's restraints and gave him hope. Is that not what we are to do? On this Mental Health Sunday, are we not to give people hope rather than label them as unworthy? Or we're so afraid of you, we want to put you away. Understanding and compassion are a requirement. It's a requirement to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Jesus taught it. He preached it. And he said, be understanding and compassionate. My question for you and for me, do we meet that requirement? Are we true followers of Christ, and do we offer compassion and understanding? I guess the real question is, and I almost use this as a sermon title, are we restrainers or liberators? Jesus was a liberator. My prayer in having this sermon on this day is that perhaps you walk away with a little more knowledge about mental illness and what the term truly means as opposed to what people make it. My prayer is that you'll be more compassionate and understanding towards those who do have mental illness. And folks, it is possible. This is a truism that you could have it, even if it's briefly. If you become depressed, you could be someone who has mental illness. Might last a few weeks, a few months, maybe even a few years. It doesn't make you any less of a person or any less worthy of the love of Jesus Christ and those who follow him. I hope we keep that in mind because there are a lot of people out there who need the love and understanding that only we can offer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, all too often we want to label people, and it's our way of restraining them and running from them, and we ask that you free us from that we may not be one who labels but one who loves, that we may not be one who restrains but one who liberates. Fill us with your Spirit so that love, understanding, compassion come through to all that we meet, that they may know we are truly a follower of yours. For we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.